We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Hey church, Pastor Chad here. I wanted to take the time to re-record something that I spoke recently in one of our Connect Uniteds. I wanted to make sure that this got out there, especially for those that call Metro Church their home. Something that's really been burning inside of me, this idea of tribe. I recently read an amazing book from Pastor Erwin McManus, the pastor of Mosaic Church in Hollywood, and he wrote this book called The Last Arrow. And some of this book, it talks about understanding our tribe and how important the tribe is. And it really resonated with me because it made me think that there are so many decisions we have to make in our life. And the decisions we make, they decide the degree of our success in this life. But out of all the decisions that we make, one of the most important decisions is choosing our tribe. And I don't mean your blood family, because we all know it chose you. I mean you choose to become family with a certain group or tribe because you understand they are like-hearted and like-minded. That's not to say they are same-minded, because we're all different. We have different thoughts or perspectives in some areas of life, but we're like-minded. And even in the greatest tribes, there are often differences. But the differences don't determine or define us. We must make sure that it's our similarities that do. Our decision on who we run with determines both our direction and our distance. See, you must choose who you run with. And just because you come to this church doesn't mean you necessarily have chosen to run with us. You know, Julie and I just finished our first year as senior pastors here in the transition just a few weeks ago. And, it was wise advice for us to really focus on the health of the church in the first year. But I'll tell you, the church is healthy. We are doing well. You know, it's good to see the signs of life and all the things that are going on, the response to the message and the gospel of Jesus and all the great visitor traffic. And people are hungry to know. And I just want to let you know, the church is healthy. And so because we know the church is healthy, we want to start running. And I want to know, will you run with me? You know, it's our tribe. We've got to understand that we're chasing after Jesus, but no one wants to leave anyone behind. But at the same time, there becomes a place where we can't walk anymore. We need to start jogging, and we need to, if we've been jogging for a while, maybe we need to start running. But we need to run together, and that's what a tribe does. And so your tribe is whatever group of people has the most influence in your life that you choose to make decisions with. You know, if you're a young person and you're in school regularly, and maybe the people in your life in the school are helping make decisions in your world, and they're more influential. Or maybe it's someone in the workplace, or maybe it's somebody you've been dating or have a relationship with, and they have even more influence than that of what Jesus is asking of us, each and every one of us as the church. We've got to decide to realign as our mindsets, the way we think. We've got to say, okay, God, if this is what you've called us to, if this is what you're asking of me, then I'm going to run in that direction. And so, all tribes have a set of thoughts. They have ideas and actions that make clear what they are about to those both inside and outside the tribe. And so today I want to talk to you about the makeup and the ingredients that hold Metro Church together as a powerful tribe. So, I want to talk about our tribe. And so I'm going to be in Ephesians 2. I'm going to read 4 through 10 real quick. It says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. But we are united with Christ because we are united with Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Amen? And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Man, when I read that scripture, those scriptures, it just brings so much about the tribe glue and who we are. And, you know, if we are united in Christ, what that should look like. And, you know, as the world gets crazier and crazier, and as people start to question a lot of other things, I don't want you to question who we are. What is Metro Church about? What is our tribe running with? And I want to promise you, we're always only about Jesus here, but what does that mean for us? And so I want to talk to you about our tribe glue, you know, or even as the young people say, squad goals or whatever. I want to talk to you. Number one, the first thing is we are rich in mercy because we have experienced love. See, because we've experienced love, we've experienced the mercy that Jesus gives us, we need to understand we are supposed to reflect that. We are supposed to mirror that. As a church, we are merciful because we've experienced Christ's mercy. It says in verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. So how should we act in this tribe? Like Jesus treated us. Because we've experienced such love in the ultimate form of mercy, we are to love with mercy. We don't hold on to offense. We don't determine our actions towards someone by their actions towards us, because that is exactly opposite of what Jesus did for us. The thing that he did for us, we didn't deserve. We didn't deserve his mercy. We didn't deserve his grace. He didn't need to go to the cross for us. We didn't deserve it. But he chose to. And in the same way, we have to love everybody, regardless of their thoughts, regardless of their, you know, the directions that they're going and the lives that they're living. God called us to love and to show mercy to people. We are not the judge. We are those that are called to love. You know, when it comes to judgment and all those other things, that is the position that Jesus holds. That is the position that God takes. We are called to love people. And I want to make sure that we are merciful in the way in which we love. And so be what Jesus has been to you. Amen? Come on, that's the kind of church we are. The second thing that jumps out to me is we need to remind ourselves, number two, we are united in our focus on Jesus alone. Alone. A lot of people say, you know, why are we so, you know, narrow-minded, or why are we so, you know, focused inward on Jesus? It's like, well, because Jesus is the source of our life. He's the source of our hope. Without Jesus, we don't have a bridge back to God. No, we are focused on Jesus alone. There are a lot of things going on in this world that are trying to demand your attention, that are trying to demand, you know, your speech or your talk. It's trying to take the focus. And I'll tell you, we must be united in our focus on Jesus alone, because he is the only reason we are alive, both physically and spiritually. Verse 6, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. We are united with Christ Jesus. Listen, we are united under one name here at Metro Church. We bear the same family name, and that's Jesus. When he had, you know, when we said yes to Jesus, it says we are adopted into his family. We're literally grafted in. And, you know, that's a family that is eternal. So we must stop bickering over things that are not eternal. Listen to me, church. We are not a political party. We are a spiritual family. Not sure if you realize, but both Republicans and Democrats will be in heaven. And to be the same is to be truly said, that both Republicans and Democrats will be found in hell if we don't do our job. We are here to love people back to life. We are here to shine Jesus. We're not here to, you know, say who's right or who's wrong or any of those things. We're a spiritual family that's united in Christ. Let's put the bickering aside. Let's stop talking about the things that divide us, and let's talk about the things that unite us. We're not going to spend time talking about all the things that we curse. We're not going to curse the darkness. We're going to shine a light and be who who Jesus was on this earth. And so our tribe is focused on helping as many as we can from both sides of the aisle, from every background under the sun, that are both those that are both privileged and unprivileged alike, that they would know the hope that is found in Jesus. That is what the church is about. That is who we are, church. So, don't think, well, is there a place for me? Is there room for me? Hey, we're about Jesus, and we are going to unite in Jesus. So don't be mistaken. This church is not a church of political parties, but a singular spiritual family. And you know what? I can have love for crazy Uncle Eddie in the church. I can have love for, you know, silly Susie down the road in the, you know, because I know she's part of the body of Christ. Just because we don't agree on some of the things doesn't change the fact that his sins, crazy Uncle Eddie's sins, are under the same blood as my sins. And because of this, I will focus on our family in Christ. Look, we can deal with some of the differences as long as we focus on the similarities. Look, you know what? I might think that person's views are a little crazy on this edge of the thing, or a little off on that thing. But man, you know what? It's about Jesus, and we're going to remain a spiritual family, because our spiritual family is more important than anything someone is or isn't tweeting about. It is more important than any current event or heated banter. Our tribe is the only thing we get to take with us into a very real eternity. So we must be united in Christ. The third thing that jumps out to me when I'm reading the scripture, the thing that we as a tribe, it's going to be the glue that continues to hold us together as we run together, is number three, we embody grace while walking humbly in truth. It says, verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Come on. He saved us by his grace. It is only because of grace that we are saved. Why? Because we've believed. And so we must embody the grace that Jesus has so amazingly given to us. We must embody grace while walking humbly. Look, there has to be a balance between grace and truth. It can't be out of balance. Jesus was the perfect balance of grace and truth. When he met the woman, who was... onto the fifth man who, you know, wasn't married to this guy, but still with this other guy. What did he say? He said, look, I know what's going on in your world. You know, the man you're with isn't your husband and all these other things that are going on. What did he say? He said, go and sin no more. He was saying, look, I understand life isn't easy. I understand it's not hard. He didn't omit truth just to make someone feel better. He spoke truth while yet being gracious about it. Us as a church, man, the best thing we can do is embody grace. Look, we're going to walk in truth, but it's going to be done humbly because God saved us by his grace. It's not anything we did. We can't, we can't boast about it. It's about what God did for us. And so you may know a truth that a brother or sister does not have a revelation of yet, but unless you are gracious and walk and speak humbly that truth, you are not exemplifying Jesus. Do you hear me? Come on, we must do everything in love. Truth can be told in love. In fact, most people that don't come to church anymore, it's not because they haven't at all had any form of interest. A lot of people that don't come to church anymore, it's because they used to go to church and they were hurt with people that didn't know how to embody grace and walk humbly in truth. And so back to verse 8, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You know, I hope today, as you're listening to this, you're just reminded of how blessed you are that God decided to give his grace, that God decided to send Jesus for our sake. We don't deserve it, and you may be a Christian for a week, a year, 10 years, 30 years. Let us never forget that there's nothing we can boast about. We didn't deserve any of it. No matter how good we think we've lived, it's only because of God's grace. So let us continue to embody that grace. That's what's going to separate us, church. That's what's going to make us salty. That's what's going to make us light on this earth. Let's make sure that when we're salty for the right things, let's be the difference in our world because we walk and embody grace. Let's do it in truth, but with plenty of humility. Number four, the other thing that I think about is we must encourage each other in word, not opinion. Again, in word, not opinion. Verse 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." What does that mean? Look, we fight for each other, not with each other. Jesus has made us anew. We are anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let's not allow ourselves to throw our opinions on other people, because of what they are or aren't doing. Let's not be those people that are quick to judge. Let's be those people that are quick to encourage, but not based on our opinions or our preconceived notions or our old paradigms. Let us encourage each other in the word alone. The Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another, or one sister sharpens another. Our relationships, although they create a little bit of friction sometimes because we are human and we do deal with our humanity, the fact is our words need to be encouraging each other through God's word, not just our opinion. I've come to realize no matter how great your upbringing may have been, no matter how well-meaning your parents were, there are things that you have taken from them that may not necessarily be exactly what God's word says. And so we must not allow the opinions that were really put into us at young ages to come out on other people. We need to encourage each other in the word of God, not through our opinions. We know that God created us all for good things, so we look to stoke the flame of inspiration, not perspiration. When it comes to this house, we look to lift people up with the word, not pull them down with opinion. We aren't a people that debate just to debate. We protect each other by speaking directly to each other when we have problems, not discussing it on forums and public spaces. We go and have a coffee with people because that's the way we should treat family. Look, we're not just a church community. We're a family. God's called us a family. He wants us to be a family, and we've got to protect each other. We can have areas where we disagree. If it's in a gray area, we need to understand that God's word is black and white. And if his word speaks directly about it, if his word is very bold about what truth is, then we must align our thoughts towards his truth. But if he leaves it in a gray area where he allows us to make some of the decisions where we've got to decide what's important. And those are, few and far between, but there are areas, where some people may differ. Some people say, don't even touch a glass of wine. And someone else says, well, the Bible says not to be drunk on wine, and then there's that little gray area. Well, you do what God's called you to do, but you don't allow your opinions to be projected onto other people because we need to stay a church that's united in God's word, and we need to encourage each other in his word, not in our opinions. Are you okay with this? Is this good? And so we also, if we cannot tie our feelings to scripture, we must submit our feelings to the scripture. I'm going to say it again. If we cannot tie our feelings to a scripture, we must submit our feelings to the scripture. Just because you think something, just because you feel something, doesn't mean it's right. We've got to go back to God's word and say, you know what, God, I don't feel good about this. What does your word say? And if I go back to the word and I realize his word says something, and even if I don't necessarily love what his word says, I must say, God, I submit my thoughts to you. Your ways are higher than my ways. And you know what? Here is where I submit to your scripture. Because I can't tie my feelings to this scripture. Let's not be people who twist context to be able to support our life. Let's be people who submit our life to the context of scripture. Amen? So we must think more highly of the word of God than public opinion. We're not trying to fix the problems of this world with common minds of this world. God's word is the only hope for humanity, and we unite and run together with his word. My hope is that as a family, it would be so ingrained in us who we are as a church that if anything is said or done outside of our tribe's makeup, we identify it as foreign. Not in a shunned kind of way where we shun things, but that we would identify it and try and help those who don't understand what kind of people we are. Come on. You know, I love how it says in John 17, the Bible talks about Jesus is talking to God and he's saying, God, let them be one as you and I are one so that people will know that we sent them. You know, we want to be a church that people know, man, God sent them. God is with them. And that's going to come through our unity in Christ Jesus. When we're united in Christ, we are stronger. And as a tribe, we must be united and run together. I love the old African adage. It says this, if you want to run fast, run alone. But if you want to run far, run together. Come on, let's be a church that runs together so that we don't get disqualified, that we don't not finish well. Come on, this tribe is going to finish well because we are united in Christ Jesus and we focus on our similarities, not the things that divide. Hey, I really hope this message has encouraged you. I hope it helped you understand more about who we are at Metro Church so that you would look to run with us. Have a great week and I can't wait for Sunday.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.